Hi, everybody. Good morning. My name is Karen Peters. I'm a co-author on this presentation with Dr. Dykens, who couldn't make it out to the West Coast, and he apologizes for that. So I want to talk a little bit about our project in Senegal. We call it the Peace Care Partnership Model. And Andrew's disclosure is he's president of this nonprofit organization called Peace Care, located in Chicago, Illinois. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our process, our structure, our philosophy, our project, and then some outcomes and some next steps. So the Peace Care Model is really designed to look at reducing health disparities and building sustainable community-based solutions in low and middle income countries. And we hope that by involving the community, we can build in that sustainability. We're also trying to make best use of technology that is appropriate for the resource capacity and appropriateness of the country, and really use a model of participatory input into the projects that we work with. So we use a primary care public health model to build partnerships. And both Andrew and I are located at the University of Illinois. I'm at the School of Public Health. He's at the Department of Family Medicine. And we also partner with the Peace Corps in the countries that are with the volunteers that are already there. So we hope to, in this project, talk a little bit about our partnership with the District of Saria in Senegal and our Peace Core and Peace Care group. We look to try to address a global burden of diseases with this, address the shortage of health workforce in the world, and really try to build in a research component as well, because we know there's always need for more global health research. So the way that this is done is the Peace Corps is integral to our model, and because Peace Corps volunteers are already in country, have developed a trusting relationship with the communities that they're in, they really help us. They're the linkage for academic faculty and student trainees to come in into a partnership situation. So our first project is in Saria in Senegal, and here's just some statistics about Africa, and you can see the issue here of the discrepancy between sort of the global health workforce available in Africa and then the global burden of disease, 24% versus 3%. So we thought that this would be a good place to work this model. So the location is way in the southeast corner of the country, and this is a health district that we're working with, 42,000 people living there. There's one health center and seven health posts in the region, and the actual village that we're working in has about 2,000 people. And the issue is that there's no cervical cancer screening in place in this district. So the way we were able to understand that was we did several community assessments in partnership with the Peace Corps people that are there, the local health workforce who's there, and we were able to identify these kind of clinical topics, cervical cancer, sexually transmitted infections, and diarrhea as being kind of the major issues that they felt they wanted our assistance with. And so we did some background literature reviews and so forth, and here are some statistics about HPV cervical cancer in Senegal and so forth. And again, because the lack of screening capacity, including, you know, lack of laboratory resources and so forth, we wanted to come up with a sustainable type of intervention that would be useful. And so we are using a visual inspection with acetic acid VIA, and we are teaching local health workforce how to do this particular technique. We're using a curriculum that WHO is already kind of promoting. It's a train-the-trainer model. And so we trained Rijo group of five, and then they have trained other workers in the district. So that's for the VIA. The second issue, the sexually transmitted diseases, again, we used another curriculum from WHO, and this was more of a back and forth, almost in some ways a cultural clinical exchange about what is the understanding from Western medicine perspective, what is the cultural traditional understanding from there, and had dialogues about the issues with STI. Our third issue was the diarrhea prevention, huge issue as many of you know. And so this was much more of we again took another WHO curriculum and called Facts for Life and did a lot of kind of community participatory, gathered the women together to talk about this. It's not as though they've never been exposed to diarrhea prevention techniques, but this was a very community-friendly way to kind of talk about this type of thing. We put it in a skit and tried to demonstrate oral rehydration therapy and so forth. Again, very much of a cultural exchange. So with the outcomes, with the VIA, we screened 79 women. Two were found positive, none for suspicious cancer. And we're continuing to build on this project to move this to a next level, which I'll talk about in just a bit. The other interesting thing that we were able to do is, again, this sort of an academic exchange with the local health workforce there and us coming from the academic medical center, learning a lot on our part about malaria and so forth. So our next steps are to continue with our evaluation procedures, doing interviews, focus groups, and so forth, because this model is something that we're really trying to evaluate, this peace care model, very much a community-oriented approach. We are also continuing with the VIA component, and we are going to next bring a treatment for those where we do find positive cases of using cryotherapy as a very low resource, non-high tech kind of a treatment option for folks that we find. We've continued to do trainings throughout the region, and at some point hope to be able to expand this beyond just this region into other parts of the country. Cervical cancer is become a very prominent issue in Senegal, and there's a lot of interest at sort of the health ministry level for continuing to build this into their healthcare system. So that's my very brief presentation, and I should take questions.
You have actually a little bit of time left, okay. And you're going to have to leave. So if there are any specific questions or comments or
Andrew,
who's sort of the president of this nonprofit organization, is a former Peace Corps volunteer, and so understands that system and has been able to talk with Peace Corps representatives. The country director, for example, in Peace Corps in Senegal, and he, really talked about this, and that person then, from the Peace Corps perspective, was able to talk to the local Peace Corps volunteers and sort of get them interested in it. So it's sort of as we're looking to expand the model to different countries, kind of working at multiple levels, but trying to also get sort of the Peace Corps infrastructure in the country to help us out. Yeah.
Karen, question. Is there any way of building this into the training of the Peace Corps volunteers so they arrive better prepared rather than working, trying to give them when they're
right.
probably on the way out of the country?
Right. You bring up actually two parts, sort of when they're coming in and when they're leaving. We are working on that. We've been able to kind of evolve a minimal training of kind of basic health information for the Peace Corps volunteers that are assisting us, and then they kind of transfer their knowledge to the next group of Peace Corps volunteers coming into that same region. So that's working. In terms of sort of at the beginning, it's really, again, the country has to request our assistance in any way. And so to try to pre-train people, we haven't quite figured that out yet. Yeah. Excellent idea. So, she asked, do we use any mid-level providers in the scheme of the Peace Care model? We do, and that's our vision to do so. We take resident positions, faculty, we've taken public health students, we're hoping to get undergraduate health professions-oriented students to go with us, and again, depending on the needs expressed by the community, we try to match up the appropriate provider, both the level and the discipline, to come as a team and work the project. So we're very, very open to that. Yeah, thank you.
One last question back there.
Yes.
You had mentioned early on that the mission of your group is to also adapt technology
mm-hmm.
for purposes. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, it's interesting that, you know, and probably many of you in the audience have had this experience. You will be in very rural, remote areas, but somewhere there's a cell phone tower around, for example. So people tend to have some type of technology with them, and we're trying to capitalize on that. Is that a way to kind of get a message out about a screening, for example, or a health fair or something like that? That's sort of, you know, kind of in country. I think the other way that we're looking at that is our organization as a 501c3. Andrew's very technologically savvy and has a lot of stuff. Our organization is virtual in a lot of sense, very much using social networking, blogging, those kinds of things. Google sites, you know, and all that kind of stuff, just to use whatever existing kinds of technology are out there. In terms of sort of the screening and treatment, we try to use, you know, WHO type information that's already been, you know, evidence-based oriented, and to the extent that technology is involved in that, and try to adapt that to the needs.
Great. Thank you.
I apologize for leaving.